morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kirvu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a Packers game against the Detroit Lions on Sunday. To do that, we have joining us to help preview the game this morning, Aaron Nagler of Sports Illustrated. Aaron, by the way, congratulations on your new gig at Sports Illustrated.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Good morning. Aaron, we're anticipating today's injury report to find out whether Brian Bulaga will play on Sunday against the Lions. Do you think we'll see him come back from this torn MCL in time for Sunday's game?
You know, I'm not holding out hope. I know he's reportedly looked better this week. I just don't think sending him out there on, you know, I guess a still questionable knee on that surface in that building, I don't think that's the best call. I still think they hold him out one more week, but you never know. I mean, I know he probably wants to play, and he lobbied hard enough to get out on the practice field last week. Maybe he lobbied hard enough to get on the playing field this week, but I will be very surprised if he plays Sunday.
You know, there's been so much attention on Brian Bulaga and a rookie center on the offensive line that it seems like the play of left tackle David Bakhtiari has maybe been overlooked early this season. But should we at all be worried in light of last year's performance against the Lions when Bakhtiari got dominated by Ziggy Ansah, and he's just performing adequately so far this season? Is that maybe an underrated storyline?
Yeah, it's not being talked about a whole lot, and it's funny you mention that. I was just watching last year's game last night, and you're right. Ziggy Ansah gave him all sorts of problems in that building. Now, as for his play this year, I think he's been pretty steady. He's struggled a little bit in the run game, and he's given up one or two really bad inside moves, but most notably against Seattle, which obviously caused a big problem. But you know, I think he's been fairly solid throughout, you know, these first two games. This will definitely be most likely, you know, a huge challenge for him. The one thing you wonder about Ziggy is Ansah is on the injury report. You wonder how effective he's going to be. But yeah, Bakhtiari is not exactly, you know, lighting it up, so to speak. However, a left tackle lights things up, but he's been at least steady. I mean, I wouldn't classify him as a problem.
Okay. You know, that game last year was such a disaster. And Ndamukong Suh also manhandled the interior of the Packers' offensive line, particularly T.J. Lang last year's game. How did the Packers prevent Suh from making a difference on Sunday?
Well, hopefully T.J. Lang's not playing center this time, which he did for a big part of the game.
Yes.
Last year, I think Corey Linsley makes a big difference. That kid is strong as heck, and well, I don't think he's Stone Sue or anything like that. I think he will hold up much better than Lang did. And, you know, the combo blocks, the wham blocking on inside runs has proven to be very effective against Sue. But, you know, don't forget Nick Fairley. He's a load as well, and they will definitely have their hands full. But it will be a very different offensive line. And to me, the biggest thing, of course, is Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback. His ability to get the ball out of his hands, you have to think they're going to try and start out with a very quick passing game. He's better than anyone at getting, you know, finding the right guy, getting the ball out of his hands quickly, which is something Matt Flynn just could not do last year. So that will make as big a difference as the changes along the offensive line.
We're talking to Cheesehead TV's own co-founder, Aaron Nagler, along with Corey Banky here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning previewing the Lions game. Aaron, this game provides an opportunity to see two of the premier wide receivers in the NFL between Jordy Nelson and Calvin Johnson. Starting with a question about Nelson here, is there any worry that the Packers are going to the well too many times with Jordy Nelson early this season?
Absolutely not. You've got a premier talent, use him. I wish they would have gone after Richard Sherman with him. You paid the man. You kept him around because you think he's a good wide receiver, which he is. He is undoubtedly one of the top five wide receivers in the game. And I see no problems, because eventually defenses are going to have to start rolling coverage his way. They're going to have to start dedicating a safety to him. They're going to have to start going into sub packages to deal with the Packers passing game, and that's going to open things up for Eddie Lacy. That's going to open things up for all the other receivers, some of the tight ends. So I say keep going at Jordy until they make you stop. You know, until they stop you. I see zero worry in Jordy Nelson's output so far.
Turning to the other side of the football then, how do the Packers stop Calvin Johnson? I assume they won't have Tremont Williams kind of following him around to both sides of the field, right?
Well, you know, the talk has been this week that, you know, Sam Shields, who did it last year, he'll be on him again this year. I've said all week, I won't be surprised if they try Devon House a few times. He's a little taller, a little more physical, and he's playing lights-out football so far in 2014. Whoever's over there, whoever follows Calvin Johnson around, they have to make sure they dedicate a safety to him. It has to be old-school Randy Moss coverage. And, you know, you pick your poison. You got to double Megatron, which, for whatever reason, Dom sometimes does and sometimes doesn't. But you have to keep that safety over the top. And you have to, you know, go tell Tremont to lock down on Golden Tate and, you know, have the safeties worry about the tight ends and et cetera. But you absolutely, to my way of thinking, you have to put whoever you think your best corner is over there on Megatron and then give them safety help as much as you can. Because otherwise, he's just going to eat you up. No matter, you know, great plays from Sam Shields notwithstanding. We saw last year, it looked like Megatron had burned him and he made up the ground. He's got that great speed and he had a great interception in the end zone. You will get those plays from Sam, but you will also get burned quite a little bit, especially off the line of scrimmage when he tries to press him. So, yeah, to me, you have to dedicate that safety. And if you don't, you're just playing with fire.
I mean, Sam Shields usually, typically stays to the right side of the defense. I mean, is that a concern at all if he follows Calvin Johnson over the other side?
It might be. I mean, it didn't look great last year. I mean, I remember the first couple series, they ran like three or four slants to Calvin Johnson for easy gains. And then Sam came up and tried to press him, and then they took advantage of that. So maybe they don't. Maybe they don't flip the guys. Maybe they don't have anybody following. Maybe, you know, they just play their defense. But I would tend to think it'll be Shields because that's what they've been talking all week. But, yeah. Again, like I said, you never know. Maybe they go Devon House. Yeah. We'll see.
I'm personally worried about the Packers' defensive line. It, you know, not so much about Mike Daniels, but everybody else, especially against the run.
That's an ongoing theme this week. Yeah, definitely.
Is there anything they can do? Is Mike Pinnell the answer?
Well, it'll be interesting to see once he gets on the field. I mean, he was finally active last week, but he didn't play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see how he can be any worse than what Josh Boyd has put on tape.
Yeah.
Or what LaTroy Guyon has put on tape, because that has been downright pitiful. I mean, there are several plays against the Jets where Josh Boyd, a defensive lineman, doesn't hit anybody. I don't understand how that is humanly possible. How you can play defensive line directly across from your opponent being the offensive line and not touch anybody. But he did it a couple times. There's one play where he just runs around and he ends up rolling around on the ground without hitting anybody. I mean, for a guy who looked promising, and he did last year, he has looked absolutely lost early on in 2014. So, yeah, put Pennell out there. What the heck? He cannot possibly give them more than what they've gotten along the line so far.
I agree there. Dating back to preseason play, I've been kind of disappointed with the play of Josh Boyd, expecting him to take a bigger step. Aaron, what's your prediction on who the Packers will sign to take Andy Malumba's place on the roster?
Yeah, earlier this week we had Tom Silverstein on Packer Transplant. His guess was Chris Banjo. That guess is as good as any. You know, it makes sense. You saw how he was really lights out on special teams, which is a big part of what they're going to lose with Malumba being gone. Banjo put on a clinic that final preseason game. But I also wouldn't preclude. I wouldn't rule out Ted Thompson not signing anyone. We've seen this throughout the years where, you know, a guy goes down, he's clearly going to be put on IR. And Ted just takes like 2 or 3 weeks for whatever reason to fill that spot. Remember when Nick Barnett was out for the year? I think he spent like 3 weeks with only 52 guys on the roster. So who knows? But Banjo is as good a guess as any.
Is he just waiting to see if somebody maybe pops up on the waiver wire when he does that?
Maybe. I don't know. Like I've asked a couple different people who I would think would know, and no one has a clue. So I, you know, the hunt continues for a reason for Ted's ways, and those are things that are, you know, mysterious and known only to Ted.
Regardless of who the Packers sign, does Andy Malumba's being out, ruled out, does this make Jayrone Elliott active on game days for the first time?
I hope so. I'd love to see this kid get some action in the regular season and let him get after quarterbacks. You know, as fun as it is to watch Clay Matthews running around like a whirling dervish, it'd be nice to have a guy just get up and get after the quarterback.
Yeah. Last question here, Aaron, before I let you go. Is it worth it to keep Garth Gerhart active on game days, even though he has yet to play in a game the first two games?
Yeah, it's a possibility. I know, you know, he's going to obviously play along the interior. The questions that they have are along the, you know, the tackle spot, the right tackle spot. But, you know, they kept him around for a reason. If they think he can help, I wouldn't be surprised. You got to think Lane Taylor is the first guy off the bench if they need help in the interior. But it wouldn't surprise to see Gerhart active, no.
So do you think if Corey Linsley just by chance, knock on wood, were to be injured, you think it's Lane Taylor coming in and Josh Sitton shifting to center?
Well, yeah, Sitton or Lang. I know Sitton's been practicing there, and I know Lang has voiced a strong disinterest in the center position. but yeah, I think, you know, maybe they go Gerhart, but I just can't see. I think they would rather keep Sitton. They would not, you know, try and put Sitton over at center, put Taylor in at guard, and roll that way. Yeah. But who knows? You never know with Mike.
Yeah, interesting questions here that we're examining deep down the depth chart. But Aaron, thank you so much for joining me.
That's what we do, man.
Yeah, we're diehards, right? So
yep,
I appreciate you helping me get up to speed after being gone for so long. So thanks a lot, and take care.
Anytime. Thanks so much, and welcome back, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV and Sports Illustrated joining us on the show this morning to preview the upcoming Lions game this Sunday. Railbird Central is back after a hiatus, after about, has gone for 10, 11 days to Istanbul, Turkey. Had an absolutely great time, but I'm glad to be back. Black talking football here at Cheesehead TV and Railbird Central. If you're listening to the live version of the show, I apologize for the error that happened with the audio at the outset. Thankfully, I think I'm able to fix it in the podcasted version, so nobody will hear that. But anyway, here, moving on, continuing to preview this game. I think the big story today on a Friday, on the day that NFL teams, who play on Sundays at least, release their final injury report before Sunday's game, everybody's anticipating what the Packers will do with Brian Bulaga. As Aaron Nagler said, I mean, he's been practicing ever since last week. He's been practicing on a limited basis. First of all, I guess we're waiting to see if potentially he could be upgraded from limited to full participation. And on top of that, you know, last week against the New York Jets, Brian Bulaga was listed for questionable for the game, ostensibly giving him a 50-50 shot of playing. As we all know by now, didn't end up playing at all. But Brian Bulaga, you know, I think the Packers would be served well with him in the lineup. Talking about last year's game against the Lions, that debacle in on Thanksgiving at Detroit at Ford Field, as I remember correctly, I think it was Football Outsiders, footballoutsiders.com, that ranked the performance of the Packers against the Lions to be the worst performance by any team, make that the second worst performance by any team in a game the entire season. I think there was only one game. I think it was the Jacksonville Jaguars did even worse than the Packers, but the second worst performance by a team in one game the entire season. The Packers just got dominated last year. And yeah, there's a lot of differences between, you know, last Thanksgiving and now, and, you know, including the addition of Julius Peppers and the subtractions of players like M.D. Jennings. But remember, too, the Packers have had subtractions of a guy like James Jones, who's a good player. You know, the biggest difference being, you know, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers in the game instead of Matt Flynn, and that makes you feel good. That makes you feel the Packers have a better chance of winning this game, no doubt about it. And while we can sit here and say, well, the Packers have been kind of one-dimensional in their passing game and going to Jordy Nelson a lot, I think it's Aaron Rodgers is experienced enough. He is been around the block enough to use that to his advantage. If all of a sudden a team is anticipating a pass is going to go to Jordy Nelson, they're going to jump on a route, or they're, you know, rolling coverage his way, however they're somehow anticipating that, I think Aaron Rodgers can make them pay. Not just the Lions, but any defense who might be, you know, going in that direction. You know, all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers can toss a ball to Randall Cobb or Jarrett Boykin or Davante Adams, who all of a sudden, as of last week, has kind of emerged now, or is emerging as a threat in the Packers offense. Kind of a question right now. Who's the Packers' number three wide receiver? Is Davante Adams actually overtaking Jarrett Boykin for that spot? Regardless, both those guys are pretty good. I too am not worried about Jordy Nelson being overused or whatever. I mean, because he is really good. I mean, even if, you know, they kind of go away for Jordy Nelson for a while, they'll go back to him again. You know, he's one of the best in the NFL at the wide receiver position. Aaron Nagler said it. I mean, if you got that weapon, yeah, use it. don't ignore it. Don't purposely ignore it just for the sake of ignoring it. Jordy Nelson is good for a reason, and the Packers have been going to him often for a reason. Those are things that make you feel good, that make you feel the Packers can go on the road here and beat the Detroit Lions. I am concerned about Brian Bulaga in the offensive line kind of getting back here to this game last year. I was referencing, you know, Football Outsiders ranking it as, you know, second worst performance by a team all year. It was the Packers offensive line that looked, you know, one of the worst units in that game last year. And there were reasons with TJ Lang having to play center. And I think it was Don Barclay who got injured in the midst of the game, if I'm correct. And you know, that kind of created some shifting around there. Derek Sherrod ends up entering that game last year. I think it was the first action he had seen on offense the entire year last year as he came back from injury. And he didn't do well. And David Bakhtiari got eaten up by Ziggy Ansah. So, you know, there's concern for me, especially at the tackle position, that that worries me about Bakhtiari, that worries me about Derek Sherrod if he's in there. I think the Packers would be better served with Brian Bulaga, you know, if he were healthy. Obviously, if he's not ready to go, I don't think they should put him out there for the sake of, you know, they're a better team with him. I mean, he has to be healthy. We don't want Brian Bulaga suffering a setback. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a short-term injury. We don't know if it's a two-week, a three-week, a four-week injury, but Brian Bulaga is going to come back at some point. I just prefer he'd come back healthy. But boy, it sure would be nice if he was healthy enough to play. And he's been playing so well. I thought, you know, including the preseason action this year, and early on in that Seattle game, I thought Brian Bulaga was doing fine, albeit, you know, didn't last long. It's a shame. It's a shame that he had to get hurt. But boy, oh boy, I am concerned, especially at the tackle position. because I think Brian Bulaga would definitely help them. And I'm worried about Bakhtiari and Sherrod, but who knows? I mean, you know, so far through the season, the Packers have played four halves of football, and they basically only put together one good half. That second half comeback against the Jets, in which they, you know, they got all cylinders clicking on both offense and defense in that second half. For the only one of four halves this year that they've done that. And, you know, I think the approach the Packers are taking, and pretty much if you're the Packers, the only approach you can take is that that was the beginning of what's going to start a streak here of good football, both sides of the ball. You know, as they start to figure out what's going to work on offense, how are they going to mix the run and the pass, and starting to figure out how this defense is going to work this year as they, you know, mix some 4-3 looks into it and figure out how they're using Clay Matthews in a 4-3 role as well as how they're using Julius Peppers and all these guys. The Packers got to start being more consistent. And like I said, maybe this is the start of it. I'm worried because, you know, I do think the Lions are a good team. And you know, we've kind of talked a lot about the Packer offense already here, or I have. And, you know, at the other side of the football, how are the Packers going to stop Kelvin Johnson and the Lions offense, Reggie Bush, Matthew Stafford, plenty of talent over there, but it, you know, it's Calvin Johnson that worries you the most because he's, you know, I think without doubt the best wide receiver in the entire NFL. You know, is it going to be Sam Shields following him along, around? Tremont Williams had done it in the past, but it kind of looks like, well, Sam Shields is now the number one cornerback in the Packers secondary. As Aaron Nagler said, maybe they get Devon House because he's kind of the tallest cornerback the Packers have. And he's played well so far this week. And, you know, however the Packers do it, it does worry me that Kelvin Johnson is going to be able to have to find success. But, I mean, the Detroit Lions, they have a good offense. I mean, I don't expect the Packers to shut them out. I mean, they're going to score 20, 30 points. I mean, that's a given. That's a given. It's more a matter, can the Packers come up with a few key stops? You know, they're not going to stop every drive. To expect that, I think, is just, too ambitious. And the Packers going to have to outscore them on offense. And maybe Aaron Rodgers does that. Maybe he does that. I see the question on the live blog is Jamari Lattimore starting this week? And yes, it does appear as if Jamari Lattimore will get his second consecutive start. Brad Jones has not practiced this week. You know, he didn't play last week against the Jets. And I think Jamari Lattimore was an improvement. I think Brad Jones had a poor performance against the Seattle Seahawks in the season opener. So I think that's a good thing. And if you remember back to this bad, I hate to conjure up bad memories, but again, I mean, you should learn from the past, right? Learn from history so you're not doomed to repeat it. Last year's game, Thanksgiving at Detroit, A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones, they didn't have good games either. Maybe a switch from Brad Jones is a good thing. They're going in the right direction with Jamari Lattimore. Sometimes I wonder if Sam Barrington might even be the better player, but at least they're moving on from Brad Jones. You know what? I don't know how much the injury has played into Brad Jones' poor play, but there was a point where Brad Jones was playing well, I think in like 2012. That was 2 years ago. Maybe even at the beginning of last season, Brad Jones was playing well. But again, now that's a year ago. The Packers, you know, they've found out they've had to evolve. They've had to find somebody new. And maybe this is the start if Jamari Lattimore can just continue to build off what he did last week against the Jets. Maybe he wasn't the star of the show like Mike Daniels was, but it was an improvement. And you know, it was a step in the right direction. So, again, all these things are making you think, well, the Packers have a chance as they begin, facing first the Detroit Lions, but a string of NFC North opponents, three consecutive games. First the Lions, and then the Bears, both on the road. So back-to-back NFC North Division road games, and that's tough enough. And then if you count the third against the Minnesota Vikings, that's a Thursday night game again. That's a string of three straight division opponents in the span of 12 days. Very, very tough stretch here for the Packers coming up. Especially after, these teams are looking good. The NFC North is looking really good as the Lions have a potent, very potent offense and just dangerous on defense with the likes of Ndamukong Suh and their front, defensive front. The Chicago Bears upsetting the San Francisco 49ers early this season. The Minnesota Vikings look much improved from last year, if nothing else. And I do think that the Vikings can be very good. They are an improved team. So it's this is not going to be an easy game against the Detroit Lions, or an easy stretch of games for that matter against the division NFC North division opponents. The Packers have their work cut out for them, to say the very least, I would say. But it forced to make a prediction, as I do every week on my weekly appearance on K107, kind of when I unveil my game prediction. I'm predicting a Packers loss. Again, as I always say, if you've listened to the show a long time, I'm not a homer in that I don't pick the Packers to go 16-0, and maybe I have to announce that almost every year. I hope I'm wrong. I'm a Packers fan, Packers blogger. Not constrained by the bounds of being unbiased in journalism, but I still do try to be realistic. And I think it's going to be difficult for the Packers to go into a road environment like Detroit and come away with a victory. I know the Packers have two straight on the road here. If they could get one win out of these next two games, come away from the next two games with a 2-2 record, overall, I think that would be fantastic. And so maybe that win comes against the Lions. Maybe it comes against the Bears. I'm predicting a loss against the Lions. Well, we'll see. We'll wait till next week when next week comes. I think regardless, that if the Packers lose here, the season's not over. I think they can feel very good about themselves if they win one out of the next two, steal one game, one out of two road games. And they're very much in the thick of things. And that's good. You're putting a two-game road trip behind you, and then all of a sudden you get the Vikings at home. Boy, you win that, and then you're 3-2, you have a winning record, and then you got a kind of a mini bye week after a Thursday night game. Boy, oh boy, I mean, you can really imagine how you would feel about the Packers at that point with a winning record, coming off a win against at home against the Vikings. And, there's so many things that have to happen yet for all these things to come to fruition here. And it's just kind of, speculating and predicting on my part. But it's going to be interesting no matter how it plays out. Still early in the season. Everybody's in the mix right now. Even an 0-2 team like the Indianapolis Colts. Everybody knows the Indianapolis Colts are not left for dead at 0-2. So that's what makes the NFL exciting. There's still a chance here for everybody, and it's going to be fun to see how this game plays out for the Packers as well as the rest of the season ahead of us. But that's what's in store for the Detroit Lions game on Sunday. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to Railbird Central here. It's great to get back in the groove, back from vacation, back from the hiatus here on the show. No call to action today. Just enjoy the show. Enjoy that it's back. So glad to be back with you listeners, and glad to be back talking football. Thank you to Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV for joining the show this morning. Aaron Nagler, also of Sports Illustrated with his new gig. We'll see you later, folks. Enjoy the weekend. And we'll see you here at Cheesehead TV throughout the weekend, especially game day on Sunday. Join us for our live blog and our post-game coverage. I leave you today with a song called Colliding by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go!